for those of us who go to this church, I usually, you know, if there's a few times when I've received a call from Pastor Sunday morning, and he's sick and he's asking me to preach. The last few days I've been preparing the message and I could not come up with the children's sermon. And I, you know, told Edward yesterday that I still don't know what, you know, to do for the children's sermon. And I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning thinking about the children's sermon. And at 8 in the morning, you know, I knew when to quit. So I called him and I told him that I want you to do the children's sermon. With this being, for now, you know, my last time preaching, I thought it was kind of full circle. That I get to do that to him at least one time. People have asked what my goodbye message is going to be. But this is not going to be a goodbye message because Milwaukee has become home for us. You know, we have family here. All our friends are here. So, you know, we'll be visiting a lot. So I don't have a goodbye message. But I do have a message, you know, even as we are leaving. A friend of mine here told me that he will be visiting us so much that if we need a two-bedroom house, we should make sure we buy a three-bedroom house because he wants an empty room there for all his visits. So we bought a house, and we have a room that we call the visitor's room. And I want to throw an open invitation to us all that whenever you are in our neck of the woods, you call us and you come visit us. It's only a 9-hour drive from here. It's not that bad. So whenever you are around, please come and visit us. What I have prepared to share today is about my experiences the last few weeks and the last few months. You know, the emotions I have felt, the thoughts that have gone through my mind, the questions that I have asked God. The last few weeks and the last few months, and some of the questions actually came from the church. And my hope is that God will use these, you know, emotions and questions that I have, you know, to bless you this morning as well. I entitled my message, "We Don't Know It All." Because if there is anything I have learned the last few weeks or the last few months, it is that truly, we don't know it all. There is a lot that we don't know. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning, oh God. Thank you once again for this time that we are going to hear your word, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you will set me aside, oh God, and that you will speak to your people, oh God. Let your word come to us, oh God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you minister to every heart and to every mind here, oh God. That indeed, oh God, man will live here the same, oh God. Touch each and every one of us at our point of need, oh God. Indeed, Lord, let your word come to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. generally, there's a lot that we don't know. And particularly, there is a lot about the future that we don't know. You see, Jesus was born knowing his end from his beginning. Okay, Jesus knew when his ministry was supposed to start. And I'm not sure if you remember, Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding banquet when his mom told him to help them out. And his response was, "Mom, why are you asking me to do this? Because the time for my ministry is not up yet." So he knew when his ministry was supposed to start even before it started. He knew when he would die. He knew how he would die. He knew his end from his beginning. Now we, as humans, don't have the privilege of knowing our tomorrow. I mean, we don't know what the next minute is going to be. I mean, you don't know what I'm going to say next and whether it's going to be good or bad. Okay, we don't know our future. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there is time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. This tells us that there are times and seasons for everything, including our own lives. But we don't always know what and when these seasons are. You don't know if tomorrow is going to be a happy time for you or a sad time. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. But God knows. So, in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." God's word tells us that we should trust our lives to him, and he will direct us in the direction we should go. He will show us the times and the seasons in our own lives that we do not know, because he is God. We've lived in Milwaukee the last 12 years. And God has blessed us in this city. He's blessed us with amazing family and friends from work, you know, from the church and from the Ghana community. I mean, this place has been a place of blessing for us. But the timing of our move from here has been very difficult. And I have to let you know that. We moved from Pittsburgh to Milwaukee when I first got my job as a staff auditor. And, you know, first year staff auditor. And I was so happy about that. But God has been good to us. And, you know, this testimony is to the glory of God that, you know, in 12 years, I am at a level within the company that only God could do. You see, I joke with a friend here that I am one level below where you actually start making money. God has been great to us in this city. And I say this to his glory. You know, as I was preparing this message, you know, I've never really thought about this, but I realized that this is actually my fifth promotion in 12 years. God has been good to us. And sometimes when you are at a place of blessing, you do not want to move. But at the same time, we need to trust God to direct our lives. You know, talking about being at a place of blessing, you know, Maud started her school, and for the first few years, it was stable. And now, interestingly, the last few months, The school has been growing very fast. I mean, if she was still going to be here, we were looking for a place to move the school to because she had outgrown the capacity to actually keep the school in the house. And it all happened in the last few months. So why is God asking us to move? This has been a place of blessing. So why would you accept to move from your place of blessing? And I tell you, God knew that we needed to be really convinced that we had to take this position. And he gave us all the signs. Okay, God speaks to his people. He truly does in various means, but the way he talks to me might be different from how he talks to you. But one thing for sure is that God speaks to his children. And he made sure he made it very clear to us that this is his calling, that this is his doing, that it is not us. Because I tell you, the day I told Maud this, I mean, she was devastated, okay? I mean, it was a tough one. But do you know what? It's actually been very interesting because this is like 2 weeks before my boss called me to his office and said, there's this position that I want you and more to pray about, to think about. He didn't use the word pray, to think about. And I really think you should do this because it's a great opportunity for you. But it means you need to move. 2 weeks before this discussion occurred, I had a dream. And in this dream, it was as if I worked for this company and I have been transferred to a small city. And more than I had gone, this was in the dream, had gone to look for a place. And it was as if we were in a rush. So we went and we saw this place and it wasn't perfect. But we said, okay, we'll take it and we'll fix the things that need to be fixed when we move in. And then I look back now and I'm like, that's exactly what happened. You see, at the time when I had the dream, I didn't know that I was about to be asked to move. So, you know, I told Maud about this, that I had this dream, and I think it is meaningful, but I don't know what it means. Maybe it has to do with us trying to move the daycare out of the house, because, I mean, this is 2 weeks before. I had not contemplated moving anyway. God speaks to his people. And so when we fast forward and we're thinking about this and praying about whether to move, this dream came to mind and we're like, oh, this is what the dream meant. This is what God was saying. But God didn't stop there. You know, I work out Monday to Saturday. I work out in the morning and I listen to a preacher whilst I'm working out because it helps the time move faster. I mean, for those of us who work out on the treadmill, I mean, 30 minutes is a really, 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 really long time. You need something to help you out. So I listen to this preacher from Singapore called Joseph Prince when I'm running on the treadmill, and he's really good. And this is the day after my discussion with my boss. I was listening to him, and I tell you, in the middle of his preaching about grace, he stopped and talked about moving and how you know God wants you to move and when you know God wants you to move. I mean, it was as if he was talking directly to me. He put this in the middle of the preaching, and then he moved on. And I was like, what? Now, the same day, every morning, Maud listens to this preacher in the U.S. called Joyce Meyer. Some of you may be familiar with her. And guess what? That morning, she preached about moving and where you know God wants you to move and how you know God wants you to move. I mean, this was unbelievable. Now, the same day, Maud receives these daily devotions from some website. And she forwarded it to me. That day's devotion was about moving. And when you know God wants you to move, and how you know God wants you to move. I mean, as we're thinking about this, it was truly unbelievable. God still speaks to his people. Now, not only did he talk to us through these signs, you know, the last couple of weeks before we knew where to move, you know, like I said, we've been trying to find a place to move the daycare to, and we've gone to places. I mean, there was this one place that we went to that was perfect. Okay, it looked so nice, and there was 2 units. One had 2 bathrooms, and that's the one that we could use. And the man told us that if we had come 1 week earlier, we would have gotten the place. And I tell you, this is a week before we knew we had to move. And he said if we had come a week earlier, we would have gotten the place. So we moved on, and then we found another place that was a closed daycare. So it had the backyard and everything done already. And there were all these signs for lease. I mean, Maud called them. I called them several times. I left messages. I actually spoke to somebody twice. And you know what? Up to today, the one person who could lease us the place never called us back. And then when Maud told a friend who knew we were moving, she goes, "Oh, I see. That's why you never got a place to move the daycare to." God is in control of the lives of his children. The lesson I have learned the last few weeks is that God is truly in control of our future. He knows the times, he knows the seasons, and he directs us into his blessing. Now, what if we had signed a 2-year lease, which is what they were looking for, a week before we knew we had to move? But whilst we're going through it, it was kind of frustrating why things were not working out. But then when you go into the future and you look back, then you say, "Oh, now I get it. Now I understand that indeed God blesses his people." Now, unfortunately, most of the time, not knowing our tomorrow, not knowing our future, being in the state of unknown, leads to fear. Leads to this fear of unknown. You know, in our own life, you know, there is that potential for fear of moving to a new place, you know, for a new job. Fear of not knowing how the kids are going to adapt in a new school, you know, to a new environment. I'm not sure if I've told you, but the school they go to here is 98% black, and the school they are going to is 98% white. Okay, this is different. Now, it could lead to fear of wondering what Maud will do as we go to a new place whilst closing her profitable business. And I want to ask you the same thing today. What are you afraid of for your tomorrow? Think for a moment. Are you afraid of your health? Are you afraid of losing your job? Are you afraid of getting stuck where you are? Are you afraid of not making the right decisions? What is it that you are afraid of for your tomorrow? Instead of having faith in God about our tomorrow, we tend to fear. Although if you really, really, really think about it, instead of being afraid of the unknown, it should rather result in our trusting God who knows and holds and directs the future. Jesus called us in Matthew chapter 6 to trust in him and not worry about our tomorrow, because he said that God takes care of the lilies of the field, you know, the flowers, and God takes care of the birds. How much more will he not take care of us, his children, who are more valuable than the flowers and the birds. And he promised that God would take care of us. You know, God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And he told him to go to a land that he will show him. And Abraham trusted God and set off to the new land. He trusted that he who called him is faithful and will do what he has promised, even though he had no history, no experience to back up what he believed. I'm not sure if you know this, but Abraham's parents didn't worship God. So he didn't know that God was faithful. He just acted in faith and went anyway. Now we, on the other hand, have the written word of God. And his word tells us that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we know that if he was faithful to Abraham and he's been faithful to you and to me, then we can trust that he'll be faithful to us tomorrow. We don't know it all. And that should rather result in trusting in God, who knows the tomorrow, who knows the future. Now, as I was preparing this message, I realized that, you know, I cannot talk about trusting God without addressing, you know, the subject of why God allows believers to go through pain. Because I'm sure you are thinking, I remember instances where, you know, I prayed and trusted God, but things didn't go as I expected. You know, and you are talking about trusting God, but, you know, you remember, as humans, we struggle with a loving God, allowing his children to go through pain and disappointments whilst trusting in him. You know, pain sometimes makes us wonder if God is truly in control of our lives and if he is faithful to his promises that he will take care of us every day. After all, why would a loving God who loves us so much allow us to go through pain and disappointment and sorrow whilst we've trusted our lives to him? You know, on the subject of pain and disappointments, you know, sometimes we have to be very careful, you know, that as believers, we don't get deceived, you know, by the devil into thinking that, oh, you know, you remember you prayed for somebody to get healed, but the person didn't get healed. So does God really heal? You know, sometimes you wonder, whether you can truly trust God, because you can think of the one or two instances when you prayed and things didn't happen the way you expected. And the devil comes to you and he reminds you of these things just as he did right from the beginning in Genesis. I'm not sure if you remember, but the devil went to Eve and told him, "Do you know why God told you not to eat of this tree?" And then he made it sound like God was depriving them of so much by asking them not to eat of that one tree. Now, think about it. There were thousands of trees in the garden, and they could eat of every one of them except for one. And yet, the devil made it sound like God was depriving them of so much because of the one tree that they could not eat. Now, if you think about it, you know, think of all the blessings that God has blessed us with. But sometimes we just concentrate on the one healing that we may not have received. We concentrate on the one request that we made that we did not receive. We concentrate on only the one negative thing, and we forget of all the many blessings that God has blessed us with. As humans, we tend to forget the many blessings of God. Now, there is something really, really interesting. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus so much. Now, when you fast forward to John chapter 11, verse 5 to 6, it's actually kind of interesting. The Bible says that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now, that makes no sense. Okay? Jesus loved them so much that when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed behind for 2 more days. Now, why would he stay for 2 more days knowing Lazarus would die? And Mary and Martha would go through so much pain and sorrow. Why would he do that? Now, have you ever felt like God didn't show up on time? That's why your consistent prayer. Have you ever devoted so much time to praying for someone to get well and still the person doesn't get well? You know, in our own church, as I was preparing this, I don't want to remind us of our pain, but, you know, I remember our church praying so much for our own brother and our deacon Paul. You know, we stood here, we prayed for Paul, okay? I prayed for Paul every morning, and God still called him home. And I know he's at a better place, right? You know, he's at a better place. He's with God, you know, no sorrow, no difficulty, no pain. You know, he's at a better place. But sometimes, as humans, it's difficult to understand. But, you know, I do get that. Because he's at a much better place. Now, what about Mary Galloway? Have you thought about that? As a church, we stood here and we prayed for Mary. Why is she still sick? Why is she still not well? You know, sometimes we ask these questions. And you know what answer I have? None. We don't know it all. We just don't understand everything. The Bible says that we only know in part. But there's a time coming when we will know in full. We just don't know it all. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says that ask and you receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. But I tell you, have you ever felt like you asked and didn't receive? That you knocked and knocked and the door wasn't opened? That you sought and didn't find? I think we've all been there before at one point or another. Now, similar to Mary and Martha, could it be that God loves you so much that he delayed? Is it possible that God loves you so much that he didn't grant the promotion, the healing, the victory, the job you've been looking for? Is it possible that God loves you so much that he delayed in answering your prayer? Because God's time is always right. It's just that it's humanly sometimes very difficult to understand how God works. So his word assures us that his ways is not our ways. He knows the tomorrow that you and I don't know. So we sometimes don't understand what he's doing until we are in the future looking back. You know, I have a very good story on this. I mean, the day we told the kids that we were moving. Now, we had known that we were moving for a little bit before we told the kids. And the Sunday we told them, after church, we went to Sam's Club. And the kids were asking questions. And they were asking questions about going back to school in the fall and their uniform. And asking questions about things they want, and they were asking me these questions, and I don't want to lie to them, but I didn't want to tell them we're moving in the store. So, you know, I told them things, you know, in halves, and I told them things that you know, truthfully didn't make too much sense because they didn't know the whole story. Now, we came home, and that evening, we told them that we're moving to Nashville, and we're moving in just 1 month. Then Daniel started recounting all the things I had told him that made no sense until he knew what was going on. He said, oh, you know, you told me you were going to buy a bed for Michael and me. It wouldn't even fit in our room. Where were we going to put them? I had told them things that I was doing that didn't make any sense at the time until he knew the full story. Then he realized, oh, now things make a lot more sense. Now, for most of our lives, you know, we are like Michael, right? We are like Daniel. We only know a part of the picture, so may not understand it all. But God knows the full picture. So we just need to trust him that he is in control. Now, when you go back to the story of Lazarus, you know, later Lazarus was raised from the dead. And I tell you, it was to the glory of God. But not only that, it was to the, you know, most excitement and joy that Mary and Martha could have had. The joy that they experienced was a lot more than they would have experienced if Jesus had showed up on time and healed their brother. Can you just imagine what joy they felt when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Can you even compare that to what they would have felt if Jesus had healed him? We don't know it all until we are in the future looking back. Then we understand, oh, that is what that dream meant. Oh, that is why we never found a place to move the daycare. Oh, that is why this and this was going on and I had no clue. We just have to trust God that indeed he is in control of our lives. We all go through things we don't understand. But we have to trust that God is in control even in our lack of understanding. And in summary, this is what I have learned the last few weeks and months, is that God's word tells us that there are times and seasons for everything, including times and seasons in our own lives. There's a time to stay and a time to move. There's a time to search and a time to stop searching. There is a time indeed for everything under the heaven. You know, Abraham waited for 24 to 25 years before the promise of Sarah bearing him a son was fulfilled. He had to wait for God's timing. God has our life planned. And we just have to trust it all to him and put him in the driver's seat for him to drive our lives in the direction that we should go. I'd like to conclude my lesson. And to conclude, I have two requests that as we move, I'd like to make of everyone here. Our first request is that as we move, we dearly request that you pray for us, that you pray for our move, you know, for my new job. I'm going to the South, okay? I need some prayer. I would like you to pray, you know, for what Maud would do as we move, you know, for the kids, for their schooling, and for them adjusting to their new environment. And then I'd like you to pray for our new mission field. Because I tell you, this move has got to be more than for a job. There has to be something more.
than for a job. So I'd like you to pray for our mission field. I think God has a mission for us. And it's got to be the reason why we have to move there. Please pray for us. There's a verse in the Bible that has always been a blessing to me and to my brother and to my older brother in Ghana too. And the verse that talks about the glory of the latter rain is a verse that says that the latter shall be greater than the former, you know, than the latter days shall be greater than the former days. We believe that, you know, God will continue to bless us as life goes on. And we wait in expectation of his blessing. That if he blessed us in Milwaukee, he will even grant us a greater blessing as we move into our next stage of life. That is his word. And we believe wholeheartedly in the glory of the latter rain. So that is my request to everyone here. Please pray with us. My second request is specifically to the Brown Deer Baptist Church family. I mean, we want to encourage you to hold on to this amazing family that God has blessed us with. We've been a part of this church for the last 12 years. And this is a great church. It's not a perfect church. But I tell you, there is no perfect church. Just as there is no perfect family. If you truly wanted a perfect family, I tell you, look closely at yours. You would have to abandon yours. There is no perfect family. We are imperfect people, and you cannot get a perfect church from imperfect people. Because I tell you, I know there are things I'm supposed to do that I don't do. And I surely know you know there are things you should do that you may not be doing. So you cannot expect perfection. I believe there's a time coming when the church will be perfected. But it's not until Christ comes back again. So please continue to pray for this church, continue to support this church, continue to do your calling. That is all I'm asking of you. Do as you are called. I believe God called us all to this church, and it was for a purpose. And we need to stick to our calling. We are moving. But this church will remain. And I pray that God will continue to bless this church. And that this church will continue to grow and be. This has been a place of blessing. And I pray that you see it like that. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, God, for today. We thank you for your word unto us, oh God. Indeed, oh God, there is a lot that we don't know. But you know it all. And today you are calling us to trust our lives unto you, oh God. To give you the driver's seat, oh God. Because when we have done that, you will lead us into your blessing, oh God. We thank you. And we bless you, oh God. Help us, oh God, to do your bidding, oh God. Help us, oh God, to not be just hearers of your word only, but to be doers of your word, oh God. To grant the steering wheel of our lives to you, O God.
just devote it to you, to dedicate it to you, for you, O God, to take control, God, and direct us into the future, O God, and direct us, O God, into your blessing, O God. You said that we should call on you, O God, and you will show us, you open our eyes, O God, to see great and marvelous things that you have prepared for us that we do not know, O God. That is your word. And today we pray, O God, that may your word be fulfilled, O God, in your children, O God. Father God, your word to us today, O God, is that we should not be afraid of tomorrow, O God. Your word to us today, O God, is that you are our provider, O God, and you shall provide, O God. So we should not fear tomorrow, O God. We should not fear the terror by day, O God. We should not fear the terror by night, O God, because you are in control, O God. And today we pray, O God, that indeed you will be control, God. Take control, God. Help us not to fear, oh God. Your word promises us, oh God, that 1,000, oh God, will fall on our left hand side and 10,000 on our right hand side, but they will not come near us because you are a shield, oh God. Father God, we thank you. And we bless your name, oh God. That indeed, oh God, you are Lord, and you are God. We thank you that you are in control of our lives, O God, and that indeed you are directing us into our future, O God. Help us to grant unto you total control over our lives, O God. If there be anyone here, O God, who hasn't devoted their lives to you, O God, Father God, I pray that this day they will surrender unto you, O God. That they will pray and say, Lord, take over, O God. Because I do not even know for the next moment, but you know, O God. So take over and direct me into your blessing. Father God, let none live here the same. Father God, let none live here the same, O God. Bless us and touch us, your people, O God. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. And may all the saints say, Amen.